Our reading is taken from Habakkuk, chapter 1, and verses 1 to 11. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a fearful and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops ahead, headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty people whose own strength is their own God. This is the word of the Lord.
Shirley, thank you very much. Can I have my welcome to that of Sarah? For those who don't know me, my name is Matthew. I am the minister here. Apologies, the Bible reference and the page number fell off the screen. That was entirely my fault. But we are on page 940. And out of all the readings, that was probably the one where you could have done with a page reference. We are in the Old Testament. It's a new series. We're in this very strange book, maybe, of Habakkuk. We need God's help. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it's your words to us. And it's our authority. So, Father, we want to hear your voice. May your spirit convict us. And maybe we fashion our lives and our church under it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, there it is. There you go. Right. Do you ever look out on the world and ask, what is God doing? Why does God allow this? It may be a question you've got, or maybe it's your family, or friends, or work colleagues, or neighbours. Why illness? Why did you let that person get cancer? Why redundancy? Why have I lost my job? Why is my spouse lost their job? Bereavement. Lord, why did you let that person die so young? Or maybe you're a parent, you're thinking, why are my kids being bullied? Why do people struggle with their mental health? Or maybe you just look out more broadly on the world and just go, this is just all wrong. You look out at Ukraine and Russia and you think, why? Why did Putin invade Ukraine? And all these months on, I think all of us are asking, why? Well, if you're asking any of those questions, you are in very good company. Because Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet, well, he also asks questions of God. Now, I'm conscious we've jumped into a very strange book. Let me try and give some background. Okay, some of you will be familiar that the people of God, Israel, was governed by kings. There was the great kings. There was Saul, David, Solomon. They had the whole kingdom. And then after Solomon, it got split. We had Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Israel in the north abandoned God, and the Assyrians invaded. And if you look at this map, you can see the Assyrian Empire. And you can't see it very clearly, but if you look, there's a little yellow bit around the words Judah. And that's because the southern kingdom, Judah, the Assyrians never managed to invade. They held out. And we are in Jerusalem, and we are in Judah with Habakkuk. Now, we don't know a lot about Habakkuk. Verse 1 tells us he's a prophet. A prophet is someone who speaks the words of God. But we know from the book that he's talking about the invasion of the Babylonians. This is where you like a little bit of history. So the Babylonians are going to sort of replace Assyria as the global superpower of the time. So this is the Babylonian Empire in 609 to 539 BC. And you can see, eventually, they're going to take over the whole area, including Jerusalem. So Habakkuk's book is essentially a prophecy that comes between Assyria being the superpower and Babylon becoming the superpower, because the Babylonians, essentially, he foresees coming, invading and taking over Jerusalem. Beyond that, we don't know a lot. He writes a song at the end of the book suggesting he was probably based in the temple, maybe part of the temple prophets, speaking the words of God to the people. And what we see in this book is Habakkuk talking to God. And this is the first thing I want us to see this morning. Habakkuk is honest with God. Have a look at verse 2. Habakkuk's complaint. Now, of course, the subtitles are not in the original. They're just put in by the editors to help us make life easy, which is why we generally don't read them on a Sunday. But they're there just to make it easier for us to understand. But here's essentially his complaint. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Essentially saying, God, you're not listening. He's crying out to God, and God, why are you, where are you? You're not answering my questions. Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save. In other words, he sees bad stuff going on in his community, and he goes, God, why aren't you doing anything? He goes, why do you make me look at injustice? In other words, he's seeing what's going on, maybe the corruption of his day, and going, God, why aren't you doing anything? Why do I have to put up with this? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? He says, destruction and violence are before me. It's not a great shape of the state of the people in those days. Destruction and violence, strife and conflict. Habakkuk's going, God, this is just a disaster, this place I live in. What are you doing? Actually, how long, Lord, must I call for help? Habakkuk is very honest with God. What we see in Habakkuk, we also see in some of the Psalms. The Bible says that we can be honest with God. If you're a Christian here today, you've been brought into God's family. God is our Father, and we can be honest with him. Many of you know I have two children. They have no problem asking me their questions or complaining about things they consider unjust. If they don't think there's fairness in our house, I get told about it, I can guarantee you. See, just as my children are honest with me, we can be honest with God. My children don't always like my answers. Because remember, I see things a bit differently to them. Particularly when one child thinks the other child's been unfair, of course, I sometimes see the bigger picture. The same with us and God. But the picture is we can talk to the Lord like this. I sometimes fear that we can create a church culture where we can't be honest with God. We can't say to the Lord, look, why? During the pandemic, it was okay to go to the Lord. Why, Lord? And ask these questions. It's a very simple thing, but I think Habakkuk's just saying to us, this is okay to call out to the Lord and go, why? And very wonderfully for Habakkuk, God does reply. Second thing, Habakkuk is distressed by injustice and wrongdoing. He sees violence, injustice, strife, and conflict. Have a look at verse 4. He says, therefore the law is paralyzed, or numb, literally. So God has set up a legal system. So the people of God and the religious leaders are all together, civil and legal come together, and the law is to set out how they are to organize themselves and how they are to live. Built into it is also a sacrificial system that allows people to receive forgiveness. But Habakkuk says the law is paralyzed, it's numb. In other words, it doesn't work. This thing that God gave to bless his people and help them order their lives is not working. It seems to me they're just ignoring it. And the systems of leadership that were set up are failing to deal with the injustice Habakkuk sees. He says, justice never prevails. Justice is perverted, literally twisted. Actually, it goes further than that. The wicked hem in the righteous. It's even worse. The people of God, the godly people, are being oppressed by the wicked people and stopping them living as they should. In other words, it's a fairly corrupt world that Habakkuk lives in. Now, we don't get explicitly told what the issues are here, but if you read the rest of the Old Testament, you get a pretty good clue of what's going on. I'm going to set out, I think, six areas probably that Habakkuk's looking out on and going, this is wrong. Firstly, idolatry. I'm fairly certain from what we see elsewhere in the Bible, they have decided, instead of worshipping the one true God, they're going to worship a carved statue. Baal, Ashtoreth, and they're bowing down to them. So that's the first thing. Secondly, there's probably religious activity, but hearts are far from God. That's what we see endlessly complained about. People going through the religious motions of the day, but their hearts are far from God. Thirdly, there is no doubt corruption by those in authority. This is not godly leadership here. They are corrupt. Fourthly, a lack of care for the weak and the poor. This is something, again, you see the prophets endlessly berating the people. The rich are getting richer, and you don't care about the weak and the vulnerable. And no doubt this is what's feeding into Habakkuk's decision. It's unjust. There's probably some dishonest trading going on, a bit of bribes, a few backhanders, that's all going on, a bit of imbalanced scales. And maybe people not being paid the correct wages and being exploited. That's what Habakkuk's seeing. And he is distressed. Let me ask a question. When we see the equivalent in our world, do we care? Habakkuk's really distressed about this. He's so distressed, he turns it to the Lord and says, Lord, please come and do something. It really made me think. I think I'm just a bit numb. I'm not as distressed maybe as I should be. I did a little bit of research trying to pick up some of these things. According to the International Monetary Fund, $7 trillion, that's 8% of the world's wealth, 8% of global GDP, is hidden in offshore financial centers, most of which comes from illicit activities. 8% of global wealth is coming from illicit activities and is hidden. I thought, that could do a lot of good. How about the number of refugees? 35.3 million people are now refugees in our world today, according to the UNHCR. 41% of them are children. And I've mentioned this statistic before. There's 49.6 million people trapped in modern-day slavery. Sometimes I I think this passage reminds me sometimes, I think I just need to get real. This world is not just. Actually, it's just like Habakkuk's world. It's deeply unjust. I just thought maybe let's come home. Let's look at Hastings and St. Leonard's. Child poverty. In 2014-15, it was 18.2%. By 2021, it was 25.5%. A quarter of our children, according to government surveys in this town, are growing up in child poverty. Am I distressed by that? Maybe I need the Lord to soften my heart a little bit. But of course, in Habakkuk's day, it's not just the social world he's in, it's also the religious world. So the question is our church a beacon shining light of justice and godliness and righteousness? I fear not. On one level, I can only really talk about my own denomination, the Church of England. But names like Jonathan Fletcher, Peter Ball, Jean Vanier, Colin Pritchard. We've got failures of leadership. It's the General Synod this weekend. There's a whole drama because the Archbishop's Council have sacked the entirety of the Independent Safeguarding Board. I don't know the ins and outs, but it's not look good. And as you go around an average Church of England church, is it a place that's committed to serving Christ? Is the Bible alive and open? Or is it numb and paralyzed? Are we worshipping the one true God revealed in Jesus Christ? Or have we slipped into icons and idolatry? I wonder if we ought to be more distressed about our church too. It made me ask the question, what do we say as a church? What are we like? It's all right to look out there, isn't it? But what about in here? What are we like? Are we a church marked by justice and right choices? Challenging, isn't it? See, Habakkuk, he's got a very sensitive heart. He sees the world as it is. And his response, prayer. He looks up and goes, Lord, how long are you going to do something? And God does reply. But it's probably not what we were expecting. But I think Habakkuk should have known this would come. Verse 5. God says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. In other words, God says to Habakkuk, look, I'm going to deal with this injustice. I'm going to deal with this ungodliness in your world. But what's he going to do? I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. How is God going to bring justice to the injustice? Well, he's going to use a pagan nation like the Babylonians, a feared and dreaded people that's a law unto themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong like horsemen coming from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. Leopards, wolves, eagles. There's a picture here that God is going to judge this injustice. In other words, he's going to say, enough is enough for this wickedness of Habakkuk's day. But back in Moses' time, God said this is exactly what he would do. Remember, the law was paralyzed. But the law did say what would happen. In Deuteronomy, which is basically a long sermon given by Moses before he enters the promised land, he said, you've got a choice here. You can choose life and follow God, or you can walk away and be disobedient. By Habakkuk's day, they've abandoned God and been disobedient. And do you know what he said? This is the words from Deuteronomy. This is the warning given hundreds of years earlier. He said, if you abandon the covenant, if you abandon my law, the Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. In other words, he set out very clearly many, many hundreds of years earlier, if you carry on rebelling and behave in this unjust manner, I will send another nation and bring justice. And essentially, God is saying to Habakkuk, I'm going to do that now with the Babylonians. Now, at this point, all of us are starting to ask the question, but God, they're even worse. That's fine. It's a great question. That's next week. Because that's where this book goes next, as Habakkuk is going to ask that very question. But it does remind us, doesn't it, that there is a day of justice coming. Now, let me make two little observations before next week. Firstly, the Bible is clear that God is never responsible for evil, but he does use evil to achieve his purposes. It's quite hard to put those two things together, but they're both true. God is never responsible for evil, but when evil acts are committed, he can use them for good. We see that most clearly at the cross, don't we? The Jews and Pilate and the Romans put Jesus to death. That was a genuine choice they made to put him to death. But God used it as part of his great plan throughout all of history. He used that for our good. And he can do the same today. Secondly, God's perception and perspective are much wider than ours. I think sometimes we are only humans, created beings, and we only have a very narrow view. Sometimes you can't see the bigger picture. This may seem very trite comment, but it just struck me this week when we were at prayer meeting. In January, I was on a right old moan because these roofers didn't get around to sorting out this roof. Some of you know what I'm going to say now. And they were being really slow. But you know what? I think God was sovereignly at work there, because you know what? That saved us their slowness has saved us £2,500 when we need to get the boiler done, because the scaffolding's up, so we now don't need to pay for any more scaffolding to put the new flue in. That could just be. But it seems to me that the Lord, often, his perspective is far bigger. He understands we are humans. He's got a much bigger understanding of what's going on, and we need to trust him in that. So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, oh, I've got lots of questions, that's okay, come back next week. Habakkuk asks even more. But it does remind us of one thing. There is a day of justice coming. So for us, God has said there is a day coming when Jesus Christ will return. It'd be a wonderful day, but a terrifying day all at the same time. Because it's a day when he's going to bring in the new creation. The new heavens and the new earth, where all this injustice and horror will end. Isn't that wonderful? But it is a day when he will call us to account for how we've lived. And on that day, who can stand? I know I will not stand. But actually, I do know I can stand because of Jesus Christ. He came. He went to the cross so that on that final day, I can stand and be in the new creation. Friends, Habakkuk is very honest with God. Let's be honest with God about how we feel. Habakkuk is distressed by injustice and wrongdoing. Yeah, we need to maybe ask the Lord to soften our hearts a bit. Habakkuk learns that justice is coming. We know justice is coming. Cling to Christ for that final day. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this book and for Habakkuk's honesty. And thank you that because he's honest, we can be honest. And so, Father, please, would you soften our hearts to see the world as it really is, to long for the day when Jesus will return and make all things new, and help us in the meantime to walk by faith, trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.